G'day, Hamish McDonald here. I'm a journalist and I've spent the last 18 months deep in the dark world of mis- and disinformation. So what is the difference? Well, disinformation has malicious intent behind it. It's designed specifically to deceive using false information, kind of like propaganda. Whereas misinformation is false information that might be shared by someone who believed it to be true. So who's behind this modern form of propaganda? Find out by streaming The Matt.
For the last week, the jury has barely heard any evidence in the murder trial of Cherie Glastonbury and Mark Murphy. The court has been closed, and things have been quiet. A little too quiet. I'm Stephen Stockwell. This is episode 6 of the case of the Wheelie Bin murder.
A gruesome discovery on vacant land in Adelaide's north. Police say the remains belong to missing man Geoffrey McLean.
When Geoffrey's body was located, it had been dismembered. It was located in a wheelie bin.
Four people have been arrested in relation to his death.
A woman who's accused of murdering her ex-partner.
They're hopeful they can provide relief to his family.
As the jury was hearing how the search for Geoffrey McLean moved from missing persons to major crime, the court was closed. Not even Eva Blandis, the ABC's court reporter in Adelaide, has been allowed back in there. Instead, joining us from outside of the court for this episode. G'day, Eva.
Hi, Stocky.
Eva, I need to know why you haven't been in this room. What is going on?
Yeah, so the court's been closed now for almost a week. So I've been waiting out here, waiting for the doors to open, waiting to be let in. Anything could happen, of course, and it's not something I can leave, and I want to be able to be here to get the latest news.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate the dedication to join us from outside of court with all of the background sounds of the Adelaide CBD with you as well. You're not in that room, but who is in the courtroom at the moment?
So in the room at the moment, we've got all those lawyers. As we've discussed before, there are so many. So there's two barristers for each accused. We've got those four defendants in there. And then, of course, we've got Justice Adam Kimber, but no jury at this time.
Yeah, okay, great. I know you need to be very careful about what we say about what's happening at the moment, so I'm not going to push you too much. I will push you a bit, but, you know, we'll be gentle. before the court closed, there was evidence that was heard by the jury, though. And I really want to talk a bit about kind of what had happened, you know, in the last week or so prior to court being closed, because this has really revolved around how Geoffrey McLean was reported missing. Now, in this series, we've talked about how his body was found in a wheelie bin in a vacant lot, but initially he just kind of disappeared, right, in mid-August. How did the search for him start? How did that unfold?
So the search starts on August 29th, 2022. As we have discussed, it is when Cherie has obviously reported Geoffrey missing. So initial investigations start on the 30th of August. Helen Gier, who is no longer a member of SAPOL, but was at that time, has a call with Cherie, sort of just to get the lay of the land. Then a longer call in that day. She starts doing those preliminary things, such as, you know, doing bank checks and Centrelink checks to see if he had accessed any of his accounts. Mm. As we know, Geoffrey was living with Cherie, but she does say in that second call with the police officer that she doesn't want Geoffrey to come home if he does turn up.
Right, yeah, and I mean, we've heard and discussed in the podcast, you know, Cherie Glastonbury is one of the people charged with Geoffrey McLean's murder, and yeah, they had been living together for a period of time as well, and he's kind of last seen mid-August, and then obviously we're now at this point here, end of August, Cherie Glastonbury has called in this missing persons report. Really interesting that in that call she says, or in one of those calls, she says that she doesn't want Geoffrey McLean coming back to the house if he is found. I mean, how was she on those calls? What did Helen Gier tell the court about her manner?
So in those phone calls, she said she was distressed. She had also said that Cherie had mentioned that they had a toxic relationship. And then it's from this moment that things start getting a little bit more serious, so to speak, and SAPOL put out a missing persons release the following day on the 31st of August.
Yeah, right. And I imagine there's kind of like a missing persons search that comes up from this point. How does that unfold? Do the police get very far?
So as we know, they did those bank searches, so they get the results back and they see that Jeffrey hasn't accessed his account since August 18th, which we know is around that time he was last seen alive. They also called to hospitals around Adelaide to see if he'd turned up there, but that was to no avail. And then they ended up contacting quite a lot of friends, some of those we've heard about before, as in his mates that he'd been with at the pub. So really just that preliminary trying to figure out where he could be.
Yeah, right. Okay. And, you know, they kind of go through this process for a couple of weeks and then it transfers into, you know, being a major crime. It becomes a little bit more serious than kind of a general missing person search. Did you hear much about what it was that tipped this over into being a major crime?
So we didn't hear much about that, but as we know, he just disappeared, thin air. Mm. So we did hear from Detective Sergeant Daniel Ford on the 13th of September, after he'd been briefed with that major crime report, he starts going to the last known locations of Jeffrey. And we've heard before that he'd been at the Mawson Lakes Hotel, so he's been going to places like that. Mm. Then they engage in a large-scale search of waterways and parkland around the northern suburbs. And then eventually they go to Cherie Glastonbury's house, and that is the property in Leicester Grove at Andrews Farm.
Got it, right. So they're searching through Cherie Glastonbury's house, kind of looking for anything that might give them a clue as to what's happened to Jeffrey McLean.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And what do you see of this search of Cherie Glastonbury's house, Eva?
So we don't see anything of the actual search, but we do see some body-worn vision from when the major crime police first go to the house and start having those conversations with Cherie, letting her know that they will be searching her house, letting her know that they will be looking for things such as his telephone and electronic devices. And we just see Cherie interacting with police in those videos.
Yeah, right. So, you know, this is all evidence of Detective Sergeant Daniel Ford. He's the guy leading the major crimes investigation, obviously looking at lots of different bits and pieces. You know, the search is one part, you know, the waterways, the parkland, all of that stuff around the northern suburbs of Adelaide. Was he the last witness before the court was closed?
From memory, yes, but to be completely honest, I've lost track given how long I've been out here waiting.
And that was last Monday, right? So court was closed, am I right in thinking, you know, Tuesday, you know, a week ago from where we are now?
Yeah, yeah.
And no jury? What's going on? Do you know?
No, so there's been no jury. There's just been lots of legal discussion. The public and the media haven't been allowed in the room.
Yeah. This whole closed court thing is very new to me. You know, I'm used to kind of legal discussion happening during trials, and usually when that happens, you know, the jury's out of the room, but the media is still able to sit in there, is to take notes on what happened. We just can't report what's said when the jury's out of the room. I mean, Eva, what are some of the reasons that courts are closed, like the one has been in Adelaide?
Look, the possibilities are endless. It's ultimately to protect, you know, the justice system, to protect what's going on there. Mm. It's obviously not something I'm very across because usually I'm not in there.
Has the jury not been in at all? I mean, again, I'm asking you to peer through a very opaque door, probably completely solid door. But has the jury not been in at all, or are they coming in for short periods during the day and then being sent away?
I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, okay. And another one, and I realise we're getting into piece of string territory here, but what does this mean for the timeline of this trial, you know, a delay of a week like this?
Look, I would say, and this is just very much a general observation, that we will see it go longer than we initially expected.
Yeah, yeah, we were looking at 3 months initially. We've been going for, you know, over 6 weeks at this stage. So, yeah, still a lot to come, and this is adding to that timeline. You know, a huge undertaking, right? You got four defendants in this situation, two people accused of murder, another two accused of assisting an offender. So, yeah, a lot to go through, a lot to go on. Eva, you're sitting outside the Adelaide Supreme Court. You know, do you know when you might hear more? Do you know when there might be something happening?
I don't, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed for sometime later today or at least this week.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing us up to speed like this, Eva, dialing in from outside the Adelaide courthouse to make sure the case of the Wheelie Bin murder listeners are not left hanging as to what's unfolding inside that courtroom. As always, the best place for updates is ABC Listen. You can hear all of the latest from there, all of the details with the case of. And of course, if you're looking for further updates, any of the news around what's going on here, jump on the ABC News website. That'll be where you can find the latest on Eva's coverage. Eva, thank you for joining us from outside court for this episode.
Thank you for having me.
The Case of the Wheelie Bin Murder is produced by ABC Audio Studios and ABC News. This episode was reported by Eva Blandis and presented by me, Stephen Stockwell. Our supervising producer is Greg Muller and our executive producer is Claire Rawlinson. This episode was produced on the land of the Kaurna and Wurundjeri people.